Well, you may have noticed a discrepancy between what the bulletin says I'm preaching on and what the sermon outline thingy says I'm preaching on. They could both be wrong for all I know, but no. I did want to, the song there should give you a clue. I did want to talk this morning about prayer. I was studying the passage in Luke 9. It refers to the transfiguration of Christ, and I just wrestled with it all week and just couldn't get ready. So we made a change of plan, and I want to talk about prayer. And I think it's fitting that we do that. In fact, I was thinking, as Dale mentioned, I've been doing this series on Sunday night about just sins that believers tend to commit, struggle with. And I honestly, I had thought of doing prayerlessness as one of them. And so I do want to talk about prayer today. And I want to finish up tonight on that as well. So just give you the introduction this morning to this. It's on my heart. I don't know why. I take it that it's the Lord that put it there. It's something that maybe we need to just be reminded of. But, you know, it is curious that in the passage in Luke 9 on the transfiguration of Jesus, it starts with him going up to the mountaintop to pray, and the disciples, or Peter, James, and John, falling asleep. So maybe that's a cue that we should talk about prayer a little bit and emphasize that. So I want to just give you a primer on prayer today, and I don't want to make us feel guilty, but just give some practical maybe exhortation, instruction on that. And you know, it was Robert Murray McShane who said, "What a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more." And I think that's true. And I think that's true not only for a man, for us individually, I think it's true for us as a church. What we are on our knees is what we are. And so it really raises the question, what are we? What are we on our knees? Are we on our knees? And to what extent? And how big is prayer in each of our lives individually? How big is it in the life of our church corporately? That really tells us who we are and what we are. And that's all we are. And so I think of all the things that we need to just be encouraged in repeatedly is this matter of prayer. You know, we are creatures of habit, as Dale is talking about. And prayer is one of those habits that we need to cultivate if we're going to be healthy Christians. We need to cultivate the habit of prayer, and I just want to encourage us toward that as we talk a little bit about that today. So I'm just going to answer a series of questions. We'll do two or three of them this morning, and then we'll finish up tonight. And I know a number of you maybe won't be here tonight, but we'll have it on CD. You can grab the rest of this next time or whatever. But just really feel burden to talk about this. So first of all, when we say prayer, what are we talking about? What is prayer? I mean, I think we have a tendency to maybe overcomplicate it sometimes, and certainly if you're a new believer or a child and you listen to other people pray, especially when they pray in church, it's kind of, wow, I could never do that. How do you learn to do that? So I think it's important for us just from time to time to talk about the fact that prayer is just talking to God. That's all it is. It's just talking to the Lord. You know, prayer is not some magic wand where we go into the presence of God and wave it around to get what we want. Prayer is not tattle time where we go to God and say, "Do you know what so-and-so did?" Like the little girl who said, "Dear God, my brother is a rat. You should give him a tail." You know, sometimes we pray like that. We go to God to complain about other people or whatever. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not announcement time. "Dear Lord, please bless the Valentine's banquet we have scheduled for next Saturday night at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Please help everyone remember to buy their tickets today in the foyer for $8. Prayer is talking to God. It's talking to God about your life, your needs, things that are going on that you want to interact with him about. And it's just taking the time to be aware of his presence, taking the time to enjoy his company. It's just living in a state of awareness of his presence and enjoying that fellowship and talking with him just like you would if you were hanging out with a friend all day long. I mean, if you were walking side by side with your best friend all day, you would talk. And so for us to not talk to God when he is here, he is present with us, it wouldn't make any sense. E.M. Bounds, one of the great champions of prayer, wrote, "Prayer is the contact of a living soul with God. It's the contact of a living soul with God. In prayer, God stoops to kiss man, to bless man, and to aid in everything that God can devise or man can need." So that's the issue. It's just having this contact with God and wanting to be in his presence and wanting to enjoy the fellowship and blessing that comes from him. It's cultivating a relationship, in other words. It's just enjoying intimacy with him and conversation with him. And I really think that the quality of our relationship with God can be measured by the quality of our prayer, the quality of our prayer to him and how much conversation we enjoy with him. Someone said apostasy begins in the closet. In other words, no man ever backslid from the life and power of Christianity who continued constant and fervent in private prayer. And that's always where it starts. When we begin to stray or wander away from the faith, it is because we have stopped praying. So I just want us to cultivate that habit and renew that habit. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is cultivating our relationship with him. It's enjoying his presence. Prayer is exercising our faith in him. It's acknowledging our dependence upon him, and that's why we go to him in prayers, because we know that we need him, and so we cry out for his help and his mercy. A catechism, I think it's Keach's catechism, which is part of the London Baptist Confession of 1689, defined prayer this way. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires to God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies, end quote. And that's a good way to think of it. It's offering up my desires to him. So all of that is kind of the definition for it. Second question, what is the purpose of prayer? Why should we pray? What are we aiming at in prayer? And I think in all practicality, if we could just be very frank about it, we pray to get what we need, right? We pray to get what we need. In other words, we acknowledge that there are things that we need that we don't have that only God can supply, and that's what prayer is doing. It's going to him for those things that only he can do and only he can provide. And the kinds of things we need are what? Well, we need mercy, we need grace, we need forgiveness. And so we draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive that. We need wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously. In Matthew 7, you know, the little deal about asking, seeking, knocking. Ask that you may receive, seek that you may find, knock that doors may be opened. That's what we need, is we need things from God. We need direction. We need open doors. We need guidance. All of those things are in view there. So the purpose of prayer is to get what we need. And what we need continually, no matter who we are, is mercy, grace, forgiveness, wisdom, God's provision, God's will, God's direction. All of those things are the purpose, really, of our praying. But you know what our greatest need is? Our greatest need is God himself. That's really what we need. And so the purpose of prayer is, I think, ultimately to meet that need. The point of prayer is to get us to pray to God so that we're in the presence of God and receiving Him. One of my favorite quotes on prayer is by George MacDonald. Someone asked him one time, why, if God knows everything we need before we even ask, why should we pray? And his answer was, what if God knows prayer to be the thing we need first and most? What if the main object in God's idea of prayer be the supplying of our great, our endless need, the need of Himself? The good of all our smaller and lower needs lies in this, that they drive us to God. So, it's not just what you're praying for that you need, it's who you're praying to that you need. And that is really the purpose of prayer. Then, one other thought here, just in terms of our introduction, and we'll save the rest for tonight, but the questions of when, where, and how often should I pray? I know some people think you're only spiritual if you get up really early to do it, and which leaves me out, to be sure. I'm encouraged by the fact that Scripture shows some pretty spiritual people praying in mid-afternoon, for example. Acts 3:1, Peter and John went up to the temple at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, to pray. That's spiritual right there. And Psalm 119, you know, at midnight I shall rise to give thanks to thee because of thy righteous ordinances. So, really, we don't want to put a time on it and say you should always pray at this particular time, although obviously Jesus often arose early in the morning while it was still dark and went off to a lonely place to pray. Ephesians 6, Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. So there's no bad time to pray. There's no wrong time. Where should I pray? I did the talk for the Awana kids a couple of weeks ago, and I drew up on the board several pictures, a mountain, a cross, a prison, a fish, and I got them to look at that and try to tell me what they all had in common, and what was in common was those are all places where people prayed. And the point I was making was you can pray anywhere. Wherever you are at the moment is a good place. How often should I pray? How about 3 times a day or 7? Well, the Bible doesn't command a set number of times. The best answer to how often is more often. More often, all of us, more often. I mean, we may complain we don't have time, but I would challenge you to keep track of how much time you spend on, I don't know, Facebook, for example, or surfing the web. And I think we would all say, yeah, pretty quickly, we have time. It's just a matter of making time, taking the time. I read a book that told of Susanna Wesley's prayer life, and it said, consider Susanna Wesley with 19 active children, including John and Charles. Susanna Wesley still found time to pray daily. This godly saint seldom gave the Lord less than a full hour each day for prayer. But I have no place to get away for prayer, some might object. She likewise had no place to get away. So at her chosen time, she would take her apron and pull it over her face, and her children were instructed never to disturb mother when she was praying in her apron. That may be what it takes, but that is good. Well, I just want to encourage you in this, and again, I would invite you to come back tonight as we talk about the benefits of prayer and give a little template for the way to structure your prayer and just talk through some of the challenges as well. But I want us to be a praying people. I want you to be a Christian that prays. You know, you don't give lip service to it. You don't just do it on Sunday or Wednesday night, but it really is a part of your life. I want it to be true of me more than it is. And I really do believe that it's an area where we all need to grow. I think it was John Bunyan, yeah, who said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. And so I just encourage us in that and would plead with you to pray at all times in the Spirit and be committed to a life of prayer, to the habit of prayer. And if you want to hear more about how to do that, come back tonight and we'll continue this. Father, we thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you for the invitation to come to you, to cast all our cares upon you, to know that we have a friend in Jesus who cares for us. And we do bear a lot of pain needlessly because we don't pray. We do give in to a lot of sin because we don't pray. We do see a lot of hardship and consequences of sin in our lives because we don't pray. And we fail to see fruit in our lives and in our ministries many times because we don't pray. And Father, we would just confess that. We want to change that. We want to repent of that. We want to be people who are devoted to prayer. And we just ask for your grace to make us that way and to examine each of us, our own hearts, our own practices, so that we might consider what you would have us to do beginning today and this week, that we might be a people that bring glory to you by our commitment to prayer. And we ask this for Christ's sake and for his glory. Amen.